God has given me for you today, and we'll see if he'll help us to share it in a way that will glorify him, edify us, and work with toward the progress, you see, of the kingdom of God. If you are physically able, would you stand as we customarily do? And I want to read our text for today. It's several verses here out of John 8, beginning with verse 37. And again, probably familiar to many of you, but let's listen to them again. Listen to them again. Jesus is speaking as he's interacting with these contentious Jews. He says, verse 37 says, "I know that you are offsprings of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." Verse 39. They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth that I've heard from God. That is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and you will do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is because you are not of God." Amen. Father, we bow together now in your presence, soberly aware of the times in which we live. We bow in your presence, soberly aware that danger is all around us. We bow in your presence, knowing that there's a war going on around this building that we cannot see. Yes. And we bow in your presence saying, thank you, Father, for protecting us here as we gather in your name. Hallelujah. Thank you for keeping us safe in your presence as we meet with you and worship you and look to you and call upon you and depend upon you. And so here we are calling upon you now as we come to the scriptures and say, we ask you to meet with us, Lord. Meet with us in the word of God. Lead us in the way we ought to go. Speak, Lord. Your people listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, all right, we want to visit this subject matter of being set free again today. And so you might remember we have seen that people can believe while remaining spiritually blind, yeah? And a slave to sin and Satan. We've already seen that as we've been working through these verses. In other words, the belief that they have is not saving faith. Last week we saw the dangers of this deceptive faith, both in this life and in eternity. And I tell you, I thought about eternity and the horrors of eternity. This weekend as I was preparing this message, you need to think about that occasionally. How awful hell and separation from God is going to be. Awful. And I think words just fail to, you know, fully describe it. And so we try to warn. We make sure we preach the gospel. You want to make sure you present the gospel clearly. You see? Because the gospel is the what? Is the only thing that has the power, right, to save. The gospel is the only thing. So don't pretty it up. Don't water it down. Don't try to make it something that it's not. Just present it. Present the truth. And so we've seen the danger with this deceptive faith and these unfulfilled lives of people who have these empty promises they've been given and these empty precepts and concepts that dull the conscience and ultimately lead to eternal death and eternal condemnation. But you see, in the midst of this, all of this, believers have hope. God doesn't tell us about these things for us to lose hope. He tells us about these things for us to be more what? Determined. More determined. It's a wonderful thing the women are studying Jude, because you see even there that God says there may be some. There may be some that you can snatch out. Maybe God would have mercy on some. Because this is awful. It's awful. We have hope and we have confidence. Even though we know we're in the minority. We know we're on the narrow road. But we know we're being kept. Yeah? We know we're being kept. We know that we have precious and divine promises. Yes, we do. We know we have treasures and rewards in heaven, and so we're not denying the environment in which we live. We just know that what's ahead of us is so much more wonderful that we don't fear what's going to happen in this life and even to our lives. Right? You remember the Hebrew writer says that there was a time that death held us in slavery. We lived in the fear of death. But not anymore. Right? Not anymore. Because, well, we've been set free. We've been set free. And the fact is, it's only truth. Only truth leads to spiritual freedom. Only truth. No other way can you have spiritual freedom other than truth. And so it doesn't matter how eloquent a person presents something that's someone has written that is so heartfelt, something that someone has written that seems to be so philosophically good and presents such a human story and so poetic. It doesn't matter. Only the truth of God leads to what? Freedom. And you cannot have freedom without a wholehearted commitment to that truth. To that body of truth we call the faith. The faith. And so there's no way a person can be set free by believing lies. Even as pretty as they may be, as good as they make people feel, they can't be set free with that. You can't be set free by people who misunderstand and misinterpret and misapply scriptures, and those who receive it that way. You cannot be free. You may yell and shout and have all kinds of wonderful emotions going on inside you, but you'll never be free. You fill up auditoriums full of people yelling and shouting and jumping and carrying on. But if it's not truth, they're just excited people who remain. They were slaves when they came there, and they're slaves when they leave. You understand? Mm-hmm. Only truth. Only truth. Misuse and abuse of scriptures can never, never lead to truth. So you got it. Today, then, I want to talk about this issue of fatherhood. Fatherhood. There are two concepts presented in this text. You probably got it when we went through, right? Jesus talks about your father, the devil, and my father, God. You get it? Fatherhood. And this is important to see that that's the issue here. Fatherhood. So let's dig in and see where we're going here. First of all, it begins with having to be clear about natural genealogy, because that was a problem here with these Jews. Now, it's good to know where you came from. I'm not impugning anybody or dissuading anybody from doing that. It's good to know your family history, yeah? As much as you can. Now, many of us must admit we just don't know a whole lot, right? But if you can know more, that's good. It's a good thing. We don't deny that there are some benefits in knowing your family history. Amen. So don't walk away saying that Willie is against it. I am not. I am not. But I do want you to understand the dangers that we see here in this text with family history. You see? Now, you all know that there are three major religions that claim Abraham as their father. Yes? Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. All three adamantly claim Abraham as their father, and you know how that developed. Through Isaac and Ishmael, and we've seen it develop over the years. And so we are here looking at the Jews who are claiming Abraham as their father because of Judaism, okay? And so these Jews relied on natural genealogy for spiritual freedom. Now, I told you I wanted to talk about the danger of it. I said there's some benefits, but we're going to talk about the dangers of it when you allow it to slip into the spiritual realm, okay? When you misuse genealogy, when you use it in a way that it wasn't intended, yeah? And so these Jews relied on natural genealogy for spiritual freedom and for self-righteousness. You can, don't you just feel it dripping from the pages? They're so self-righteous. Here they are talking to Jesus and almost talking down to him because they're so self-righteous in their security of them being children of Abraham. Abraham. And so you just feel that superiority. Go back here. Look at verse 33. They answered him, "We're offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we become free?" You see that arrogance, that feeling of superiority and security, right? Look at verse 37. I know that Jesus affirms this. I know that you are offsprings of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. You see, he's making a distinction between natural genealogy and then trying to apply spiritual value to it. You get it? And then take a look at verse 39, the very first phrase there. They answered him, Abraham is our father. You see how they keep going back to that? They rely upon this genealogy. We came from Abraham. We come from a good seed. And hopefully y'all can see where I'm going with this already. We come from a good seed, so that makes us, you see what it is? That makes me good, because I come from a good seed. You already see the danger in that, don't you? They could not see, though. They could not see that they were not living by faith like Abraham lived. See, the only thing they're concerned about is they're in the bloodline of Abraham. Can't you? You got to get beyond that. Look at how he lived. Look at what he believed. And hopefully, as we get done today, you'll do the same as you think through your own life and your own ancestors. Go back to verse 39. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. That is not what Abraham did. You see? They could not see that they weren't living by faith like Abraham did. They're not looking at Abraham's life. They're just taking credit for being in the genealogy. Finding safety because I'm in the genealogy. Their confidence is in biology and genealogy rather than in God alone, who is faithful and true. You see? As we investigate this, I'm just asking you to keep your mind and heart open and don't get judgmental, you see? It is easy to get judgmental of other people. We're learning here together. I mean, when I worked through this weekend, I saw things that I hadn't seen before. So would you just don't slip into that judgmental mode. Let's learn together, okay? Don't get dependent upon biology, where you came from. I'm not dissuading you from learning about that. Just don't. We're saying leaning. You remember what we were saying earlier on? Leaning what? On the everlasting. On. Don't get to leaning on where you came from. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and do not what? Lean. Don't lean. Don't put weight on your understanding. Don't put your weight on your family tree. Yeah. Because it'll come down. It'll come down. It won't hold you up, rather. Not where we're going. So y'all with me so far? As he's going to develop this issue with the devil as your father, it begins with understanding natural genealogy. But then it moves on to spiritual genealogy, is what I'm calling it. Because then you see Jesus, these Jews assumed a righteous relationship with God because of Abraham. Now, I want you to see how they took the leap. They've been arguing all along, we are children of Abraham, right? We are children of Abraham. But then look at verse 41. They take the leap from being children of Abraham, and you got the second sentence there in 41. They said to him, "We are not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." You see what they did? Took the leap from Abraham and just went right on into the spiritual realm. Because Abraham was a mighty patriarch, and we are descendants of Abraham. God was Abraham's God, and therefore God is what? My God. You see the assumption that they're making? Because I'm in Abraham's line, God is my God too. This is very serious. I want you to follow me very close. Assuming that you have a right relationship with God because of a godly family history is a flawed, dangerous assumption. Assuming that because you had a mighty godly matriarch in your family, that's going to give you good standing with God. That's a flawed, and I've heard it so many times. Some matriarch, and you don't deny the godly stature of that matriarch, but you see, for you to claim some kind of stature because of it, you see the flawed nature of it. Or some patriarch in your family was a godly man and the man of God in every way, and that may be true, but for you to assume that because of that, that makes you right with God. You see the challenge? And you've been living on that for years. You start talking about your Christian life, and the main thing you go back to is that matriarch. That's what comes out of your mouth when your testimony. You see, it's all you can almost hear it now. The matriarch replaces Jesus. The patriarch replaces Jesus in your testimony. You don't even think about it because that's the way you've lived so long. That's the reason God gives us a new mind when we've been born again. So that you will think about it. What are you putting your weight on? Because your whole your future, your eternity depends on what you put your weight on in this situation. But look at this. Jesus repeatedly shows them that their spiritual relationship is with the devil. You see? You got verse 38. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from what? Your Father. You see the difference? My Father is not what? Your Father. Look at verse 41. You are doing the works of that. You're doing the works your Father did. Continues to press this issue in front of them to see that you claiming to be a descendant of Abraham is not, that doesn't secure your eternal future. And then look at 42 through 45. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Is it because you cannot bear to hear my word? You," and see, then, and the good thing about Jesus is that he makes it plain what he's talking about. Do you see it there? "You are of your Father," you got it? What? The devil. There is no way to misunderstand that. There is no way for them to misunderstand that. You've been claiming Abraham, But you're missing out on the fact that you are a descendant of Abraham with the devil as your father. This is serious. All of the godly seed that you came from, and yet you still a child of the devil. A child of the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Get it? You see how he keeps pressing it? Keep pressing it. He presented it. And we can learn a lot from Jesus, the way he presents truth to people. Presents it, opens up the subject matter. He doesn't gag them on it. But before he gets done, you know exactly what he's talking about. There's no Jew that walked away from there that day without understanding this. Just as it's my job today to make sure you don't walk away from here without understanding this either. So, your father, the devil, he's a murderer, a liar. You cannot hear my words, you see. All of these things to help them to see you are not who you think you are. You are not in the place you think you are. You have not secured the spiritual standing that you think you have. You understand? And for you to keep talking about this matriarch or this patriarch in your family, that doesn't make it any better. Consider the actors and the politicians and the musicians. Consider the athletes and church leaders and church members who make the same assumption. They get up to give some look at the award shows, and they get up and talk about their grandmother or this person or somebody who prayed for them and who did this and who did that. People in the church do the same thing. Make the same assumption. Their mother was a praying woman. Their grandfather was a preacher. They came from a line of preachers, a line of deacons, a line of church musicians, and it goes on and on. And so they assume that makes me all right because I came from this line of godly people. That makes me right with God. And so I just want to leave this point, and I want to be as clear as I can. So let me just read my statement. You can come from a long line of righteous people and still be a child of the devil. That's what I've been trying to say. The devil can still be your father. Isn't that sobering? We need to wake up. Wake up. But don't get sad. No. We don't get sad. The truth doesn't make us sad. The truth makes us alert. And for those of us who have come to love and know the truth and love it, we rejoice. And so that's the next thing here. Because this is not our situation. Thank God my father is not the devil. That's what you ought to be saying. Thank God my father is not the devil. So let's look at this, the next area. Jesus talks about my father God. And I want to follow kind of the same pattern. There's a natural genealogy here that we need to think about. Every believer has a family history, right? Good or bad, you got it, all of us, right? We got family histories. Honorable, dishonorable, there's no need to sit here and pretend. There are some awful things that have happened in our family lines, just from what we know. I mean, not even, there are obviously things that we don't know, but just from what we know, there have been some, not always some honorable things to speak of. But that's okay. On the flip side of that, there's been some good things, wonderful things that have happened in your family line. That's a good thing. But God does not make his choice based on that. Thank God. That's not the criteria that he uses, how good your family was. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. That's not the criteria that he uses to make his choice. Turn over to Romans. I know you may have seen this before, but I got to drill this for those who may just be getting this, seeing this for the first time. I want to make sure that you understand on the basis of Scripture why this is so important. Here in Romans 9, beginning at verse 6, speaking about election and God's choice. You got verse 6? But it is not as though the word of God has failed. Again, this is speaking about the Jews, right? About Israel. Now look at the next phrase. For not all who are descendant from Israel belong to Israel. You see? If you never knew what that phrase meant, it means what we're just talking about right here. Just because you are a descendant of Abraham and in the family of the Jew doesn't make you truly spiritual or saved or right with God. You get it? Not all who are descendant from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. Now that's what I've been trying to say all along. Is that clear enough? Not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall come your offspring, shall your offspring be named. This means that it's not the children of flesh who are children of God, but the children of promise are counted as offspring. Verse 9. For this is what the promise said. About this time next year I will return and Sarah will have a son. And not only so, but also will Rebekah have conceived children by one man and forefather Isaac. Though they were not yet born and had not done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will so serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. You get it? Him choosing Jacob had nothing to do with the way he lived. It's God's choice. He chooses who he wants to. That's the reason you ought to celebrate. It wasn't because your family was so good, if you came from that. But you ought to celebrate, if you came from a bad situation, generations awful things. You still celebrate because God reached in there and what? Brought you out. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. In the previous chapter, when Paul is working this all out, you remember, he at Romans 8:28, he says, God what? Causes all things to work together for good to those whom love him, who called according to his purpose, right? And then it goes on to say how this really works. For those whom he foreknew, right, he predestined. And those whom he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he what? Justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. You see the whole process? From being foreknown before you were ever born to being glorified had nothing to do with you. Isn't that wonderful? It's God. It's all God. That's the reason in heaven God gets all the praise and all the glory. Honor and glory and power and wisdom and wealth, right, belong to you. Belong to you, Lord. Y'all see this? And so, I don't deny that there's some value in family history. Just don't get wrapped up in it. Believers come from a wide range of socioeconomic and religious backgrounds. Y'all probably know this. And turn over to 1 Corinthians 1. Many of you have seen this before, but rather than me just trying to quote it, let's just put our eyes on it. 1 Corinthians 1, and look at these verses together. Verse 26, you got it? For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you are wise according to worldly standards. Now look at it. Look at it. Think about it. Not many of you were wise. It didn't say not any, did it? It's as if people read this and that's the way they think of it. No wise people get into heaven. It didn't say that. Right? Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many. You see the same thing? Not many were powerful. Not many were noble of noble birth. But it's many, not any. But then he goes on to give us hope. Yeah. For those of us who know we don't fit any of that category. Right? Verse 27, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even those things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Yeah, that's the beauty of what I'm trying to say to you. That's the beauty of what I'm trying to say to you. There'll be this wide range of people with that came from, that had this natural genealogy. And I say there will be, there is right now. In the kingdom of God, there's this wide range of people with natural genealogies. Wealthy, poor, educated, uneducated, the list goes on. Why? God chooses whom he wills. And all those other factors don't influence him, because he's not what? Partial. God has no favorites. Now, if you had a family that did right and was righteous before God, thank God for that. But that doesn't, God doesn't show favorites to you because of that, your family. You get it? That's the natural genealogy that I wanted to be aware of when it comes to God our Father. And then finally, the spiritual genealogy. Jesus described his spiritual relationship with God. Verse 38, go back to John, as my Father. Yeah. My Father. You remember when he was doing that contrast? Talked about God as my Father. I speak what I have seen with my Father. And then the relationship, this mission that he was on, this ministry, everything that he was doing was based on truth. You get it? Truth. Verse 40. I don't know if you got that when we went through. But look at verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who told you what? The truth. Look at verse 45. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? You see? Truth. His the relationship is a truth a truthful, a honest, a holy relationship between Jesus and the Father. And the ministry that he was doing was based on truth. The mission was based on truth. You remember what I told you at the beginning? Because no one can be set free without what? Truth. Truth has to be at the core. But not only does the Bible teach us that God was that Jesus was right to call God my Father, the Bible says to you and me, because of Jesus, God is what? Our Father. Jesus teaching us to pray in Matthew 6 says, pray in this way, right? Our Father, what? In heaven. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven, right? You go on to Romans 1. There's a part of Paul's greeting. He talks about the grace and the peace of God through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Later in Romans 8, I believe it is, he says that you have not received the spirit of fear that you should what? Fall back, the spirit of slavery that you should fall back into fear, but you received this what? Spirit of adoption as sons. It's by whom you can call, you can say what? Abba, Father. Yeah. So God is our Father too. Isn't that wonderful? He's our Father too. He's our Father too. And I mean, over and over and over, the Bible repeats that so that you can see it. I just started making a list. 1 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 1:2, Galatians 1:3, Ephesians 1:2, Philippians 1:2, Colossians 1:2, 2 Thessalonians 1:2, all over and over and over, our Father. Grace to you, peace from God our Father. Yeah. Why? Just get that in your heart. That ought to be precious to you. God as your Father. And like Jesus, we too can say that our relationship, our mission and ministry is based on truth. How can we say that? Jesus says, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life, right? No one comes to the Father but through me. But then he goes on. We go on and be taught in Ephesians that we are to handle each other. To handle the truth. What? Speaking the truth. How? In love. So our ministry is to be true. We handle truth, but we handle it in love. And so this is what I wanted to leave you with today is the contrast between the devil and your father and God as your father is massive. So in conclusion, God never intended for us to live on the merits of our ancestors or someone in our genealogy. Never did. He never intended for us to think that we have a right relationship with him because of our ancestors, or try to justify a right relationship with him because they had a right relationship with God. God is personal, yeah. God is personal. And he intends to have a real personal relationship individually with each of his children. The relationship is experiential. We don't have this mystical relationship with God. It's experiential. In other words, what am I saying? We experience the call of God. We experience forgiveness and the love of God when we're saved. Didn't you? This is experiential. We're not talking about what somebody else experienced. This is what I experience. Because my father, I experience his love when he saved me. Not only that, the presence and the power, the provisions, the protection, the teaching, the reproof, the correction, the training, and all of these other items we experience from God as we grow. as we grow in the Lord. And then there's the love and compassion and kindness and forgiveness and answers to prayers and new mercies every day, along with countless other blessings which are experiential. We're not talking about something that was just for the first century people. This is what he had intends for every one of his children. And so it's one of the greatest blessings of time and eternity. You know what that is? To have God as your Father and to know that you are his child. And so I just conclude with these three verses in 1 John 3. Think about it. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. Father, I want to thank you for these few